jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. I'm a little bit up and about this week. I know you might not be, yeah. But we'll get into that in a minute. But we do need to acknowledge that we have 16 of the top 20 leagues at the moment, including all of the top five. I think sometimes when we do our rankings update and our league update, we sort of can gloss over that a little bit. Like, that is an insanely big accomplishment from us. So well done to our community. It's awesome.
Yes, massive accomplishment. And we were a little bit under threat from one of the outsiders when they moved into second a few weeks ago. So it's good to see that we've reclaimed the top five and that through the buys and across the back half of the season, we seem to be holding up. And trades-wise, there's still quite a few of us with plenty up our sleeve. So hopefully that bodes well for the run home.
And our Patreon league is sitting in third.
Yep, which super, super psyched about. So if they can take the Chockies, that'd be extra special as well. All right, let's jump into the show. But before we do introduce our guest for the week, regular of the show, Faz, joining us for round 19. Thanks for coming back, mate.
Yeah, no worries at all, gents. Yeah, good to be back once again.
And I know, go Bombers.
Yeah, both of you have your spirits up with the Bombers moving into the eight over the weekend. So
trying to keep the lid on it, we are. Yeah, but, that's right. Probably getting two Essendon supporters is not the best way to do that. We'll be talking premierships within the next half an hour.
Well, I've got to admit, I think you guys have been fairly conservative about the finishing ranking when I've talked to you privately. So not quite as up and about as I would have expected. I personally see the Bombers staying in the eight, so it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season pans out. It's a very interesting run to the finals with five rounds to go, and you know, it's probably 11 teams still comfortably in it. So very interesting times.
Just trying to keep a lid on it because we've had a few years of disappointment and have not won a final for over 10 years.
Okay, yeah. I didn't quite know that statistic, obviously, being a non-Essendon supporter, so fair enough. Let's move on to a quick scorer update. I guess I will just start off with the giant elephant in the room. So a lot of people over the weekend realized the massive cock-up that I made. Looked at team sheets.
Massive.
Yeah, on a Saturday afternoon, I was meeting up with a friend who flew into town that I went to uni with, I haven't seen in ages. So I thought, check my team, go to lunch, enjoy myself, and lock away your dangerous captaincy. My captain was Josh Williams. I was going to use him to get Hugh Greenwood on field and get Dangerfield's vice captaincy score activated. But unfortunately, post the final changes, somebody gets injured in the warm-up, and I think with, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes to go, I don't know what exactly it was, but he was a late call-up to the team. And of course, me being engrossed in my lunch, I completely missed it. And Mark, you even very nicely, without even knowing that I had the C on him, tried to give me a warning call in case I was trying to use him to loophole with Hugh Greenwood. But it turned out it was sort of worst case scenario. By the time I saw your message, I was about 20 minutes late, Mark. And I lost about 150 points. So
Look, I'll be honest with you. The only reason I called you is because I didn't want you to be able to use this as an excuse when I beat your ass at the end of the year. and now, as soon as I did my best, I called you, I messaged you. It's no excuse, buddy.
Yeah, it's still going to have an asterisk on it. At least I'll remind you.
There's no asterisk.
All right. So I'm going to try as best I can not to be a downer on this week's show because, to be honest, did not look at my team after that point. I didn't make any trades, so I didn't even trade out Pendlebury. I've got seven trades. I didn't even want to look at it. I didn't want to know where I scored. Didn't even want to know where I ranked. So, you know what? Let me have a look at how far I dropped.
It was about 1,000 places.
Oh, God, that's ugly. All right, 2,129. It's not as bad as I thought, actually. I guess I'm feeling a little bit better. But, all right, enough from me. Thanks for all the shout-outs and call-outs on Twitter. I'm sorry I didn't reply, but I was definitely not in a laughing mood yet. So, we did get a question from Robert Bobby Gain asking, on a scale of 1 to Rockliffe, how much does Williams' late inclusion for North Melbourne suck for those who are using him for the captain's loophole? And, I hope not too many people were in that situation, but on a scale of 1 to Rockliffe, it was definitely at the upper Rockliffe end. So, yeah. We'll move past that. Faz, how'd you go, mate? A little bit better?
What did you actually score for the week?
I scored 21.50 for the week.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't go a whole lot better, and I don't even have that to blame it on this week. I got 22-24, which, you know, doesn't seem like too bad of a score, but it's definitely off the pace this year. My ranking keeps dropping back slightly each week without it feeling like I'm having a horrendous week. So I'm down outside the top 5,000 now. I held on to Pendlebury, which was obviously a pretty poor move with some news that we'll get into a bit later in the show. And then I think it was just some all-round pretty average scores. So, yeah, my team doesn't feel like there's anything particularly bad about it, but it's just definitely not keeping up with the pace of the rest of the competition this year. Mark, do you have a bit more cheery story to tell this week?
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are so sad, to be honest. It was a pretty good week, I thought.
Thanks, mate. Very good with the salt in the wounds.
The best part is probably that now justice is being served, and I am 200 points ahead of Marcus, 203 to be exact. Which, just to put this into perspective, even if the Williams thing wouldn't have happened, I would still be 70 points in front. So don't be too sad, mate. I made the trade after the show. We found out that Goldstein had been dropped after some poor form. And so I actually traded Goldstein to Dusty Martin. And Dusty scored a 150. So that was a very good move and worked out very well week one. And the other one was, I think, a unique that I have against you, Marcus, is Hibbard. And he scored a 140. So, and also having Greenwood come on allowed me to put Nankivis onto the bench, and he only scored 54. So just a few things sort of went my way this week. The main downer was Rockliffe. I scored 2,405 and still just sitting just outside the top 1,000 at 1,127.
Outscored me by 250 points this week, which is massive. I'm not 100% confident I'm going to recover that in the last five rounds, but I'll make a fair fist of it, that's for sure. I've got seven trades, so I've never been in a situation where I have five rounds left and seven trades. So I'm going to be bloody trigger happy on the run home, that's for sure. All right, let's move on to the actual show now. So this week we're going to focus on basically injured or underperforming or suspended players. So we've got Rockliffe in the underperforming camp, Pendlebury in the re-injured camp, Wingard in the freshly injured camp, and Toby Green with the not-so-smart camp, as per usual, Green. Just, God, the injury risk is not there, but... Jesus, he's too fiery, Mark. He's going to miss four games for me now with this second two-week suspension.
And he missed a couple with the injury as well, with his ankle injury. So, yeah, that's like, and I think I put him in the week before he got injured, suspended the first time. So he will have missed like six games out of two-thirds of a season in my team. I like him. I think he's an amazing player, but it's really hard to like him after this.
Anyway, we'll get onto those guys and basically what to do with them. Seems to be the crux of this week's show is dealing with these problem issues, which tends to be what our last few trades are for anyway. The first bloke I want to talk about is Todd Goldstein. Mark, you traded him out on the weekend. I think he was only in about 20,000 teams prior to the weekend and then exited another 5,000, including yours, on the weekend. For those 15,000 coaches that still have him, what would you suggest?
Apparently had 52 hitouts, but only 8 touches in the reserve. And I was at the game on the weekend and I actually thought Madjack was pretty good. I think that they'll give him another chance as solo ruck. And so that leaves Goldstein's future in a lot of doubt. I have him in a draft team and took him with my first pick. So with finals starting this week, that's pretty painful. But I'm still hopeful that he'll come back soon. If I had him still in my Supercoach team, I would be trading him. And I think that Stephen Martin's actually the one that I'd go for if I was going for a rock, because with Smith out of the team, he looks good, and Brisbane have a pretty good draw on the run home. Otherwise, if you can get into a forward, maybe Buddy or a midfielder.
All right, on to the next question now. This one's from Scott Warwick. Chad Wingard, hold or trade?
Probably a fairly unique pick. I think that, sorry, I'm just looking for it here. So Chad tweeted out this afternoon, Scans came back with a high ankle sprain, most likely missed two games. Grateful it wasn't worse, will do his best to get out there soon. So look, if it's two and you don't have many trades, then he's a keep. Probably a bit like the Toby Green situation. But if you do have seven like you do, which I'm sure there's no one else that has seven, Marcus, then he'd definitely be a get rid of.
The other nice thing about him is that his price is actually pretty decent at the moment. He's up above 500,000. So you almost have your pick of the forwards there. Like Elliot Yeo, you actually make a couple of grand trading to him. So that's been one of the things with Wingard in the past, is that often people bring him in because he seems to bottom out so low, but that's not even an issue at the moment. You can pretty much have your pick. So I think for me as well, it's a trade unless you're really desperate on the trade front.
Yeah, he's not a bona fide premium, is he anyway? Averaging 93 for the season, being a little bit up and down. So yeah, agree with that. All right, we'll move on to talking about Toby Green now. So Simo, or at ReedySimo1 on Twitter, has asked what we should do with him. Extremely frustrating, as you mentioned, Mark. He's missed six games now, or will miss six games now. Simo's asking whether we just have to give him the flick. 2 weeks, and at least it's definitive. This is right on the cusp of being able to keep a player with five rounds to go. I mean, he's missing less than a half. He does average premium numbers at 98, so a true premium, not one of those fringe premiums. But at 508,000, if you sideswap him, you're also going to get some pretty good scoring replacements in his stead. If you have five or more trades, I would probably lean toward trading, even for an injury of two out of the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, and I sort of sit right on that fringe. I think you said the level you said was five or more, you'd trade. I'm right on five trades and also dealing with Pendlebury, so I sort of need to make a decision this week whether, do I get rid of one and keep the other, or do I give them both the flick? So in that sense, just for my own team, it would make more sense to keep Green, I think, because I've got the extra premium on the bench in the forward line, so I could bring Tom Lynch on field. It means I'm running both Lynch and Nankervis, but I think that's better than rookie coverage, particularly rookies at this time of the year. But yeah, just missing two of the last five, it's pretty damn tempting to make the trade there, I'd think. And also, what I don't mind the look of is, if you wanted West Coast Josh Kennedy, he's down at 430,000. So you can actually make close to $80,000 by doing that sort of relatively sideways move there. And then you've got a bit of extra money to play with if you need it elsewhere on the field. I know personally I'm sort of right down to, almost $0 in the bank, which makes any other trades quite difficult. So that's probably one move that I'm looking at this week.
That's actually a great suggestion, I reckon, Faz, because I look straight to his opponent this week in West Coast playing Brisbane at home. That sounds like a good week to be bringing in Josh Kennedy at 430K, I reckon. He makes a majority of his points on his upswing when he scores, 170, kicking a big bag. And so that seems like a pretty good suggestion there, I think.
Yeah, look, I agree with that. I think he's a pretty good pick, averaging 95 for the season. You do rely on him getting a couple of those big games. He's maybe not someone that you pick for your league team, especially if you think you're a good chance of winning your league finals, because there's a good chance he's going to post a 70-odd, because he's pretty consistently being able to do that. I guess he could win you a game with a huge score as well, though.
The other reason, Mark, if you're in a league team, not to go for Josh Kennedy, is in week one, they play St Kilda, which are fighting for the top eight together with West Coast. So that's an 8-point game, a massive game next week. Don't know how well key position forwards will play in those sort of games. Then you've got Carlton the week after, and his last two, GWS and Adelaide. So you could argue that West Coast has one of the toughest runs home.
That's good to hear as a Bombers supporter.
Yep. That's why I've been talking you blokes up. All right, let's talk about replacement options, hey? Does seem quite sparse. Your top six are Yeo, McRae, Heaney, Ryder, Green, and Kennedy. And Dalhouse is just off that at seventh. And then after that, I feel like it drops off almost immediately. So eighth is Mitch Wallace, who we've talked about having concerns on previously. He's averaging 95. You've got Franklin, who can be a bit of a yo-yo. You've got Westhoff, who's the same. Dixon, who's a bit of the same. Knack, who's dropped off. Riewoldt, who's got age concerns. Higgins, who has soft tissue and consistency concerns. So it drops off almost immediately. So if I was looking at top three forward options in terms of average scoring potential, I'd almost look to sort of Yeo, McRae, and Heaney, and Ryder I'd probably put up there, and then Kennedy that you've mentioned, Faz. But I assume most people have a fair chunk of those. And if you already did, you'd almost be looking to sort of PODs instead of trying to pick the top three options, because, I mean, your next best is going to be a Mitch Wallace based on average. Mark, who would you look at if you were looking at a POD in the forward line? Or do you see anyone who hasn't managed a top six average so far, but you think is a pretty good chance to do that on the run home?
Well, there's probably a few players out there, and it is really tricky to pick exactly which one is going to do that. I think we saw Billings go on a crazy run through the middle of the season, and he definitely would have the potential to do that again over a short period of time. But and maybe even like a Charlie Dixon's probably been better than you think if you actually look closely at his numbers this year. And Buddy's probably the one that I don't have that has the ceiling that would maybe entice me to pick him.
Faz, how about yourself, mate? Do you see anybody sort of elevating themselves into a definitive top five for these last five rounds?
Not really. Not outside the ones that are already up there. Elliot Yeo is the one for me that I don't have. And he's actually at a pretty reasonable price at the moment at 501. So he's a little bit cheaper than Toby Green. So I think for people that don't have him and don't need the money elsewhere, I think that's a pretty good option. And yeah, I think outside of that, it might just be one of those, a case of, you know, trying to pick the right key position forward and just hope that they have a couple of good games. And there's a few to choose from there. I think, you know, Josh Kennedy, Buddy Franklin, and Jeremy Cameron would be the three that I can see. Or maybe even Charlie Dixon, you could throw him into that group. I could see any one of those four guys. Because really, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, with the key forwards, and particularly with Josh Kennedy, they have that potential to just go absolutely massive and, you know, score the 160s, 170s. If you can get one huge bag of goals in there, and particularly if you've got two, then you've really smashed it. But, yeah, how you actually go about choosing between those guys, it might come down to just, you know, going back and looking at some of their previous games, see if they've got some teams that they like to go off against. I don't know if Sydney play North Melbourne for the rest of the year, but I know Buddy loves to kick bags against North. So it might be just sort of doing something like that and looking out for a guy like that.
In terms of other PODs, Justin Westhoff is only in 3,000 teams, currently averaging 92, and he can have a couple of sort of big games here or there that can really spike up in average. So high risk, high reward is Justin Westhoff, but he's certainly a decent chance, and Port will have to finish strong if they want a top four berth, which is very much still in the mix for them. Charlie Dixon, who you brought up, Mark, earlier on, he's better priced at only 450,000, whereas Westhoff is at 520 at the moment. Charlie Dixon's currently averaging 91 for the season. And again, with these key position forwards, all it takes is a couple big games to really lift his average up. Before we move off the forward line, we've got a question here from Gary Real. 5 weeks to go, and that offers up an opportunity to go a bit more unique. Most have Nankervis, but as cover for their rucks. But with 5 rounds to go, you could potentially take the risk that you might not need the cover on the run home and side swap him. He's been particularly disappointing over the last few rounds, really dropping off after his considerable high at the start of the season. He's currently priced at 420,000. And I think if you compare his first half of the season to a second half, you're talking a disparity of, you know, potentially about 40% there. Mark, would you consider that move outrageous, or have you considered that yourself at all?
Look, I think that there's a lot of people actually thinking of going down that line this week, and Nank does look cooked with Soldo in the side, and I think Griffith had a bit of an injury in the VFL on the weekend, or a bit of a setback, so that means that Nank and Soldo might keep playing together, and I think that will probably limit Nank's scoring going forward. So my plan is basically to almost get Greenwood on field ahead of him. I don't have enough trades to be upgrading fit premiums, to be honest.
Yeah, I think overall I do agree with you, Mark. I think I'm in a fairly unique situation where I have 7 trades, and even then, like, I'm not sure if that's a worthwhile situation to be going after. So, and I have Paddy Ryder, so even if I trade out Nank, I'm not actually losing my ruck forward cover. So I have even more incentive to trade Nank, and I'm still fairly on the fence. So I'd say that for a majority of people, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense. The risk that you take that you won't need the ruck cover over the 5 weeks is still real. So you have to sort of balance that out with the potential returns that you will get. I think considering that we talked about most of the forward options not being sort of fantastic either, that sort of exacerbates the fact that, I mean, even if you trade to someone, like, can you really guarantee that there'll be a top tier premium? So unless you're looking at a Yo McRae Heaney type, I wouldn't be overly tempted by moving across. I mean, even trading Nank to Ryder, so you retain the ruck forward cover, seems like a poor move, because it's going to cost you 130K, and Nank could legitimately outscore Ryder for the last 5 rounds. So seems quite sketchy. All right, on to the next question. Tom Damon's asking, Pendlebury keep or trade? Any solid info on his injury? So as has been alluded to by you guys so far this show, Scott Pendlebury actually has to go through an extra procedure this week to fix a complication that he's had with his finger during recovery. So that probably means Scott Pendlebury is not coming back this week, which was the last little nugget of news that we got on Pendlebury before the football was played. So even though I kept him last week, I will almost definitely be looking at trading him this week. Potentially missing 1 of 6 is much more different from, you know, missing 2 of the next 5, for example. So yeah, he's out for me. I only wish I traded him out for Dusty last week, because I would have been absolutely laughing. Faz, what are your thoughts on Scotty P?
Yeah, similar boat, mate. I listened to last week's episode and definitely agree with a lot of the points, but I did think that, you know, with Buckley probably coaching out his last 5 games as coach of Collingwood this year, I thought that Pendlebury would be sort of doing everything he could to get back for those games. So I was probably a bit optimistic on his return date. And obviously, I'm not sort of saying that he's, you know, doing anything to get out of playing with this, you know, further setback here. But I think the decision I made last week was similar to yours, based off, you know, missing one and playing the next five. That's fine. But yeah, if it's going to be another 1 or 2 weeks, or it could even be further, and really with Collingwood not having lots to play with for the rest of the year, who could blame him for shutting down Pendlebury early and, you know, just getting him cherry ripe for next year? So with all of that, I you know, very hesitant to keep Pendlebury any further. You know, unfortunately, as was discussed last week, the price has dropped quite a bit. So he's actually below $500,000 at the moment, which does make trading him out a little bit difficult. Is it sort of the same options as were brought up last week, do you think? Or has anybody else that sort of come up in the last week?
I think it is. It's the same options as last week. The probably the two differences that I see really are Lachie Neale's got about 20,000 cheaper, or 15,000 after just posting a 90 at home. Still looked pretty good, just struggled with the fact that Freo didn't win and they didn't get a lot of the ball themselves. And the fact that Sloan had such a good performance on the weekend, maybe he becomes relevant again at 475,000. Although given what's happened with him this year, that would be a huge risk to bring him in.
His last 100 mark was a massive 177. So he's gone 177 and then six scores under 100 and then 169. So even though it does seem tempting, it is absolutely fraught with risk. And Geelong definitely made the decision not to tag Sloan and then proceeded to lose the game. So I don't know how many teams will necessarily be following in that sort of same path.
Not the blueprint to success, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think it was. It certainly frustrated me as a fan. So. Let's move on to this next question from Charles Condro, because it still relates to a midfielder and potential midfield trade-in targets if we want to trade this bloke out. Charles still has Pendles. Would you hold on to him and boot Tom Rockliffe instead? So for me, it's an absolute no-brainer between Pendles and Rockliffe, a bloke who might miss two, maybe three, four games versus Rockliffe, who, albeit sucking massively, is still playing games. Pendles definitely seems like the no-brainer trade out instead of Rockliffe. Would both of you agree with that, or has Rockliffe sort of been underperforming to such a degree that you're ready to burn all ties with him? Mark, you snickered there.
Trade, really. I think that's a bit of that would be an emotional decision, not a rational decision, because Rocky's been terrible, but he's better than a total donut.
Yeah.
Like, he is better than Tua.
Yeah.
And he did, the one thing was he only scored 50-odd on the weekend, but he did actually play really well, and I think he got 3 votes on 3AW, and it was in a tagging role, and hopefully we don't see that again from him. Hopefully we see him re-engage in the action and get a bit more of the ball, especially with Zorko out this week. Look, I think it's really similar to the Nankivis decision with me. Rocky's probably been worse than Nank, but I just don't have the trades to be trading out a fit premium.
Hmm. All right, so to wrap up this midfield segment for the blokes that might be looking at trading out Pendlebury this week, and for the blokes that might trade out Rockliffe this week, I mean, if you don't have Pendles and have Rockliffe and you have lots of trades, plenty of people would be legitimately looking at trading out Rockliffe this week, and I don't think it's absolutely crazy. Would you agree with that, Mark, or you disagree with that?
No, look, his form line is long enough now that it's not completely crazy to trade him out. He does have the ability to potentially burn you, but that seems less and less likely every week. I'm hoping that he just goes nuts, but the chances are not very good. And yeah, I think the fall line is now long enough where it's hard to keep hold of him.
Yeah, the problem is he's only at 411K, but nonetheless, for blokes that are looking to trade him out, can we do a top three in terms of scoring potential and top three in terms of a POD? Because we already did this last week, maybe Mark, you and I should sort of kick this off. So I'm going to omit Dangerfield because he's a fair no-brainer. If you're going a top three in terms of scoring potential, I would go with Mitchell and Martin, who are probably in the top three anyway, so they're not too crazy. But then if I was going a third, I think I would actually go with Lachie Neale for the run home.
Yeah, look, I think that's not a bad pick. Dustin Martin at 570 is probably the buy of the week. Sarwood, if you didn't get him last week, at 480 is very, very tempting. And I think Fife at 533 is also a really good pick. So I already have all three of those guys, and I'm really hoping they come home strong. And I guess it's hard to pay 620 for someone with so many players out there scoring so well at the moment. But Tommy Mitchell at 620, and given his recent form, it's pretty hard to resist as well.
Haven't left me a lot of room there, fellas. But I'll go with Mitchell and Martin. I think are the two no-brainers as well for me. I'll just chuck it to my old mate, Zachy Merritt. just because he's a bomber and I love him. So,
and he's in your team too, Faz. So you put your money where your mouth is, at least.
That's right. I won't be cheering him on, hoping he does poorly secretly. I'm also heavily invested in this one.
Yeah. All right. How about if we're looking at a cheaper bloke? So considering Rockcliffe is at 411,000 and Scotty Pendlebury's at 497,000, let's talk about options under 500K.
It's really tricky under at that price range to actually justify trading Rockcliffe. If you don't have a lot of money to be upgrading him, I think it's a bit tricky. Look, Ollie Wines and Cochin, who I mentioned last week, are close to that 500,000, and they're two decent replacements for Pendles. Look, if you just have no cash at all, beyond that, like, you'd probably take a gamble on Sloan. I think that his upside is just so high that maybe he's a player you go to. Hannabury's still there at 460. If you're getting down to Hannabury territory, I'd just be keeping Rockcliffe.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't think there's much merit in going Rockcliffe to Hannabury. As being an owner of both, they're both pretty average players this year. It's a guy you've mentioned already, Mark, but I'll chuck in Joel Selwood as well at 482. Anyone that doesn't have him, I think that's a great trade, either Pendlebury or Rockcliffe to Joel Selwood.
Can I just mention that I think that there's going to be a lot of people tempted to bring in Dane Beams at 419,000. He has had, I think it was 92 weeks ago and 130 on the weekend. One of the points in the last game, the commentators were mentioning that he really hasn't done any contact work at training at all in the last few weeks, and he's totally had to rechange his game, that he only had 3 contested possessions and 23 uncontested or something on the weekend. So that does not bode well for him for the rest of the season either, and I think that he is probably too big a risk to be bringing in.
Yeah, we did get quite a few questions about him, so thanks for addressing that, Mark, and I would agree with the sentiments that you've expressed. Just because somebody's at the potential bottom of their price cycle doesn't necessarily mean they're a great buy. If Beams moves up from 420 to a 490K player, that won't necessarily be a big win for you. I think another bloke that you guys haven't mentioned so far is probably Trent Cochin. He's averaged 103 so far. He's basically priced exactly the same as Joel Selwood at the moment, and seems like a decent punt for potentially being able to average 110. And then outside of Cochin and Selwood, I think I'd agree going down to either a Hannabury might be okay if you have Pendlebury, but not if you have Rockcliffe. There's a couple other blokes as well. I think if you're really strapped for cash and you already had Selwood, for example, Sloan over Cochin isn't that far of a stretch, even considering Sloan's being tagged and his downside. So let's not forget about him as well. Let's move on to the last section of the week. Let's talk about a couple of rookies that are on the bubble. So we've got Lewis Young, a forward line player for the Bulldogs at 117,000. His break even is negative 76 after scoring 67 and 79 over the last 2 weeks. And the other option is Josh DeLuca Cardillo, a bottom price player at 102,000, who's a mid-forward flexible player. Last played against Geelong in round 14 and then has since played round 18 against Hawthorn just this last week. Have either of you seen either of these blokes play so far?
Yeah, look, I'm much more impressed by Young. I think that he's more likely to hold his spot, and his scoring has been really good in the first two games. So if you're looking for a rookie this week, I would definitely suggest him. Although watching DeLuca, I've actually liked what I've seen of DeLuca. He's just not in the game a lot or for extended periods. You'd hope that maybe Fremantle might give him games on the run home, but there's a good chance he'd also get dropped pretty quick either. So, look, I can understand the flexibility and the price would be a reason to bring him in, but if I had to choose, I'd definitely be going Young this week.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with that as well, Mark. I think Bulldogs don't have a whole lot of depth in the key position stocks at the moment. They've taken quite a hit this year with injuries. So I think Lewis Young will just keep getting games sort of out of necessity rather than, you know, requiring the team to be, you know, pushing the youngsters, which I think DeLuca probably needs a bit of that. I think he's looked all right, but I'm not sure he's quite AFL ready just yet. I think, as you've mentioned, it's dependent a bit on Ross making a decision that they're going to play the kids a bit more. Given that it requires that extra element, I'd be inclined to go with Lewis Young if you needed a rookie this week.
All right, let's move on to a captain's corner and wrap up the show. So we've got Geelong playing a Saturday night game against Carlton. So Patrick Dangerfield looks like the obvious VC choice there. The problem is because he plays on a Saturday night, you will need your loophole player to be coming from the Bombers, the Bulldogs, the Crows, the Pies, the Lions, or the Eagles. So Strinadika and Darcy Cameron still are sort of two of the more popular options at this stage. So if you're trying to use either of those two blokes, unfortunately, you won't quite get to cash in on Danger as a vice captaincy. Do either of you blokes have a loophole option to use Danger as your vice?
No, this is actually the first week, pretty much all season, that I feel a bit hamstrung with my options. And I actually have three players that won't be playing this year in Strinadika, Mitch Hibbert, and Cousins from the Hawks. So three players that won't be getting games this year, but I still can't use them really for loopholing because they play in the first three games of the round. So that definitely holds me up a bit. How about you, Faz?
Well, I've got Schoenberg. I know a lot of teams would probably still have him. So Collingwood don't play until Sunday afternoon. He's an option.
I've got him as well. I'm just a bit worried about putting the captain on someone that's more than likely to be an emergency because we all know what can happen there.
Oh, God.
I guess then it's probably not a reason to keep him, but Scott Pendlebury, if anyone was sort of already going to hold on to him this week, he'd be an option that's definitely not going to be a late in. But, yeah, as I said, I don't think that's enough to sort of influence your trading decisions.
Yeah, I think team sheets will be interesting because that will tell us what Schoenberg and Luke Ryan are going to be doing. Because if you're faced with Darcy Cameron like I am, you are absolutely hamstrung. And when your backup option's Hibbard playing the second game, you're faced with fairly similar options there too. So, yeah, I will probably be going Tom Mitchell as a vice-captain, hoping for a spiked 140. In all likelihood, Dangerfield seems like just an auto captaincy for the week. And considering we lost to Adelaide last week and we're playing Carlton this week, I don't think that's an awful thing anyway.
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe even like a Isaac Heaney type on the Friday night against the Hawks. And then on the Saturday, probably go Josh Williams as captain. Dangerfield as captain on the Saturday night.
Brutal. I just trying to get over that one. That was great.
He's going to kick me when I'm down. I'm on the floor, mate. Don't worry.
Unfortunately for us all, the second best option for a captain, I'd say, at the moment is Dustin Martin. But he is also playing Saturday night at the same time as Danger, so we don't have the option there. I'm thinking maybe Maxie Gorn. I haven't seen a lot of Melbourne play, but his scoring's at least improved last week's, and coming up against North, if they decide to leave Goldstein out of the team for another week and it's Majak Dore up against Maxi, I could see Max having a day out. So I might put a sneaky V on him for the Saturday Arvo game.
Nice one. Let's wrap up this week's show then. Thanks for those captaincy calls. I think I forgot to mention the leader from our Supercoach Coach group for the week, who is, of course, entitled/won himself a Supercoach Coach stubby holder for an absolutely massive round. So John's Bruisers won our Supercoach Coach round 18 top score for the week with a 26-47, so absolutely massive score. And he has won himself a Supercoach Coach stubby holder, although this is the first time it's happened so far this season. John's also won the overall cash prize for the round.
Woo!
So, woo! Congrats, John. I'm not sure whether you'll be lining up for a stubby holder next to your cash winnings for the round, but nonetheless, that's what you've won and are entitled to. So please, John, do reach out to us over our social media pipes or via admin@supercoachcoach.com.au to claim your prize. I will get that sent out to you if you reach out to me. So congrats to yourself, John. And anything to wrap up the show with this week, Mark?
Yeah, I do have a couple of things, if that's all right, mate. One, if I would like to start a new segment on the show next week, if people could send in some dumb things that they've done, we'll nominate you for the Josh Williams Award. And I just wanted to leave on a bit of a story that I read on AFL.com today. I thought it was a bit of a funny one, and it involved your Cats, Marcus. I'm not sure whether you saw this, but apparently Josh Jenkins had some pretty serious gastro last week. He lost 7 kilograms and spent a couple of days on the toilet after eating some dodgy ham. And after the game against the Cats, Harry Taylor went up to him and shook his hand. And in Harry Taylor's hand was a small bit of ham that he put into Jenkins' hand. And Jenkins says, "I was dumbfounded. We share a manager, but I've never really had a conversation with him. He's a different cat."
That's awesome. That is fantastic. I did not catch that. So I hope they did an interview with him.
I really hope he was carrying that bit of ham around in his sock, like right from the start of the game, just waiting.
Jenkins just actually said he said it was about 25 grams, enough that could have fitted in someone's sock, and he didn't look at it too closely, though, because he was about to throw up.
Oh, gross. That is fairly rancid. Well done, Harry. He is a different cat. Loves his scotch and a history book and ham-based pranks as well, apparently. So they seem to all go hand in hand. Anyway, thanks very much for this week's show, fellas. Faz, do you have anything to leave our listeners with?
No, just going to be riding the emotional train into finals for the first time in a couple of years, which is very fun. And, yeah, just hope that everyone's season goes well. I probably won't speak to anyone again until the final end of season wrap-up show. So, yeah, good luck to everyone. Hope the people playing for leagues go well in their finals, and those that are still in the hunt can hopefully take it out for themselves and also keep chugging along for your leagues. It's great to see so many of the community up there. So, yeah, best of luck to everyone.
Awesome.
Thanks for being on, Faz. And just one final thing. Go Dr. Bone, sitting in six at the moment. Come on, boy.
Nice. All right, and with that, we'll wrap up this week's show. See ya.
Later.
Bye. Bye.